Text to start this with is a very easy one. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's essence. We have to believe in God our Creator. Not only God our Creator, but God of our salvation. That appealed to me as a child, but I was also told there was Santa Claus. And I believed in that for a while. But even as a child, that didn't make a lot of sense to me. Somehow God, with his love, his presence, his protection, his invisible care, appealed to me even as a child. And by the way, if you take the word Santa and just take the N out and put it to the N, what do you got? Can you visualize that? Santa. Satan. I believe Satan wants to do everything he can to take the focus away from him. And even the Christmas that I love, the focus goes to reindeers and Santa Claus and presents and all these kinds of things when our focus should be on Jesus Christ. In his life. And I know, I don't think Christ was born in the middle of winter, but what an opportunity we have with other people to share.
Amen.
To share the life of Jesus. So as a child, Santa didn't make it. I figured that out pretty quick. But the thought of God came very strong to me. And of course, some of the things that really impressed me as a child, and maybe I really think the Lord will work some of the little miracles in your life and strengthen you as a child to build that faith. Well, my mom taught me how to pray, and it was pretty basic. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, guide me safely through the night, wake me with the morning light. God bless mommy and daddy, my brothers and me. And basically it was it. But it was teaching me how to pray. It was teaching me how to pray. And I, maybe you can identify with this a little bit. But when I was a child, I used to have these terrible dreams, nightmares. And I was being chased by some kind of horrible monster or man or something. And it seemed like I was in molasses up to my hip, trying to run away. And I said, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And it was terrible. I had terrible time sleeping as a young child. My mom says, Jan, pray about that. I had an honest prayer, just a little child. I'm talking, 7, 8 years old. Those dreams were completely wiped out. Never had them again. I remember also, maybe I was, I'm talking about 7 or 8 years old. The family was all in the car, and I had this terrible, unbelievable stomachache, which was just doubling me over, and the pain was terrific. And I started praying, and I was praying. And all of a sudden, something jumped out in front of us, and Dad made a sudden stop, and it threw me on the floor. And I got back up, and I said, my stomachache is gone. And I said, Dad, I was praying. And Dad says, I was praying for you too. My mom says, I was praying for you too. My brother even admitted, I was praying for you too. So as a child, what a reinforcement. What a reinforcement of the actuality of a God. And I believed. I also remember some of the songs that influenced me when I was a child. He lives. I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living no matter what man may say. And where does he live? He lives in my heart. I didn't have to see him. I could feel it. And I'm sure everybody here can feel that, or we wouldn't be here. It's a feeling. Also, the song that impressed me as a child was Coming Again. The thought that Jesus was going to come again and take us home to a better world, a better place, get rid of all of our fears and our pains and our ailments, and that really influenced me as a child. Okay, later in my youth, my favorite subjects were biology, anatomy, and of course, if you know me, PE and sports. That ran right along with that. But as I studied my biology and physiology and anatomy, the idea that there was design and intelligence behind creation overwhelmed me. Absolutely overwhelmed me. To me, this could not be any kind of an accident. If you could just go through one little aspect of chemistry, and I wish I could quote it, the Krebs cycle itself. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Our own anatomy. And David confessed, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. If you think about the function of your body, it's unbelievable. There was so much design and intelligence behind that. The balances of nature, the design is intelligence, not chance. Later on, I was exposed to the evolution in my biology classes and some of my college classes. And to me, the more they told me about evolution, the stronger I was convinced of creation. Because to me, they were making complete fools of themselves. They had some of the human reasoning and some of the connections that were pretty far-fetched. Other things that really convinced me and why I believe, of course, comes from the Bible and Bible history. You know, in archaeology, they're finding more and more evidence of Bible history. And more evidence of a worldwide flood. In fact, if you consider all of us depend on petroleum, there's no petroleum being produced out in our world today because we don't have that kind of world. The only way you could have the great amounts of petroleum that we have in the ground is for a catastrophic act of nature. There was a lot of vegetation in God's new world. And when there was a flood, all of that was covered instantly, almost. That's what gives you the petroleum. That's, you know, it's all organic stuff that has basically, you know, turned to the petroleum product. Other things that really convinced me, and I have witnessed this, is the supernatural. And I won't go into some of the details of things that I've seen in the supernatural world, but I believe in, I've seen those, I've felt those, and I believe in miracles. And some of the missionary studies or stories that I've heard, and you've read them too, some of the unbelievable, almost, miracles that I read about, I don't think they're lying to me. I wasn't there to witness it, but I think they're reliable. And like one, a prayer where a canoe goes upstream, you know, they're miracles. And those reinforce my belief in a creator, a living and a loving God. In our culture, we all have a God pocket. And if we look through out our whole world, we all have a space to fill. And you can fill that with, you can fill it with drugs, you can fill it with alcohol, you can fill it with money, you can fill it with fame, you can fortune, you can fill it with your new car, or you can fill it with other religions. And if you look through the world, we have all kinds of other beliefs that fill this God pocket within us. And we could go, we could go on and on about that. But somehow, most people believe that there is a God. And some people are searching for that true God. Bible prophecy. As I learn more as an adult and see the fulfillment of prophecy and the wisdom of the Bible, further strengthens my belief. I believe. My second part, why am I my first part was why I believe. My second part, I could tell you, why am I a Seventh-day Adventist? And I'm sure I'd like to, I wish everybody could stand up here and tell me why they are a Seventh-day Adventist, why they believe. And I'll have to start with my father. My father, mother was died soon after his birth. He had two of what he called the evil stepmothers. He had a terrible youth. He hadn't. There was no religion in his bringing up, but somehow he knew there was a God. And somehow he knew that there was better things in store for him. And after, when my father was married, he got his first Bible from his father-in-law. And he started studying. And I can remember as a child, a very small child, going to all kinds of different churches. And he'd kind of walk out and just kind of shake his head. I can remember going to big tent meetings and all kinds of stuff like that. And Dad dragged me along. And then my dad had a prayer. He said, Father, lead me to the right church. Lead me to the one with the truth. Soon after that, and he had never heard of Seventh-day Adventist before. Soon after that prayer, he was introduced to Seventh-day Adventist Church. Well, I can remember going as a child to Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I had a really good, it was a good feeling there. It was a warm feeling. And what I learned stuck with me. But my family went through some really hard times, and we drifted away from the church, sad to say. And my high school days were, let's face it, my high school days were cars, girls, and sports. Pretty common, huh? All that religion was kind of back in my mind. But some things stuck with me from the Adventist church. And one big one was the health message. All through high school and that, I didn't eat like the rest of the kids around me. And that I even got a nickname. While the other kids were drinking the pop and everything at lunchtime, I always had my V8 can. And they started kids started calling me V8. And this morning, I think I'm running on one of those cylinders. But yeah, that was V8 in high school, among other nicknames. But that always stuck with me. And every once in a while, I was a motorcycle dude in high school. I had one of those big English bikes. I could beat a Corvette from 0 to 60 with that thing. And every once in a while, I'd throw my little brother on the back end of it, and I'd drag him, literally, to church, fighting all the way. And we'd go to church once in a while. And I always loved the message, and then when it was over with, I snuck out. I didn't want to talk to anybody. But that always kind of stuck with me. Of course, the other thing that stuck with me was the Ten Commandments. That made sense. I even talked to people that weren't believers, but they said, boy, I'm sure glad there are some believers. It makes the world a better place. And think about it. If those Ten Commandments were kept by everybody, we truly have the peace on earth.
Amen.
Peace on earth. Even in our fallen nature, we'd have a little bit of heaven right here on earth. And with that said, I think everybody's home that believes should have that little bit of heaven. So we honored the Ten Commandments. And then other things that really convinced me to be a Seventh-day Adventist was some of the beliefs of other churches. You know, Jesus makes it clear in Matthew 12:8 that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then there's the people that think, well, we don't have to keep those commandments because they're nailed to the cross with grace. And Paul makes it pretty clear in John 15. He says, no, we don't do away with the law. We uphold the law. And that's our job as Seventh-day Adventists. And that's another reason I'm here as a Seventh-day Adventist. Another big reason, and I could go back to my childhood with this. I just think I've shared it to you before. But the people in many of our Protestant churches believe in hell's fire, that we have a God of love that's going to torture people for the rest of eternity. I'm sorry, people. Things have to make sense to me. That makes no sense at all. That makes no sense at all. And with the closer study of the Bible, you find out that doesn't make any sense. Right from the get-go, after man sinned, what did he say? From dust you came, to dust you go. He didn't say, from dust you came, and now I'm going to torture you for the rest of eternity. He didn't say that. The truth of grace, God's grace, makes me a Seventh-day Adventist, makes me a believer. And his grace will give me the power to keep his commandments too. And we were talking about that earlier. It's not easy. There's sometimes we have to fight it. I made Mike mention this before. I'm really a lot better. My wife can testify to it, but I have a terrible temper. And when people push me, cut me off in traffic, when they wave to me with not all their fingers, I get a little upset. And in my younger days, I want to pull over and let's have it out, guy. That's the way I feel. Nowadays, they'll shoot you, though, so that's like, it's going to happen. But no, I'm not there anymore. If they want to do that kind of thing, I'll just pull over the side of the road and go, go ahead, buddy. Go ahead and leave. I want to close another aspect. Well, the state of the dead is another big thing. Many churches believe you die and, you know, and right away you float off to heaven, you know, that, and hey, they get to sit there and look at all the misery that their family is having. And see, that doesn't make any sense to me either. Because what does Christ have to resurrect if you're already there? You've got to follow the book. And I've been I've read the Mormon Book of Mormon, and I've read the little book on the Jehovah's Witnesses, and I've read. Don't make any sense to me. But what the Seventh-day Adventists preach and put together, it all fits. From Genesis to Revelations, it all fits together. And that's important to me, because things have to make sense to me. Another reason I'm a Seventh-day Adventist is the great hope that we have in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And he not only saves us from our sins, he saves us right now. He saves us from the desire of those sins. And that's a lifelong thing. I'm far from perfect, and I don't think anybody here is. Unless anybody want to raise their hand and say, well, you know, I'm perfect now. God has done all this for me. Hey, I've run into those people. I actually have. But hope. It's not like the hope, well, I hope I win the lottery. I hope my team wins tonight. I hope, you know, it's not that kind of hope. And here is a kind of a good explanation of that hope. And I'm reading from it's my little devotional. I love this. It's Christ, Jesus calling. And it's kind of from Jesus' perspective. And here's what it says. Your longing for heaven is good because it is an extension of your yearning for me. The hope of heaven is meant to strengthen and encourage you, filling you with wondrous joy. Many Christians have misunderstood this word hope, believing that it denotes wishful thinking. Nothing could be farther from the truth. As soon as I became your Savior, heaven became your ultimate destination. As soon as Jesus became your Savior, heaven became your ultimate destination. Seventh-day Adventists, we have that hope. We have a song. We have this hope. And it's not wishful thinking. It's a guarantee. The phrase hope of heaven highlights the benefits you can enjoy even while remaining on earth. This hope keeps you spiritually alive during the dark times of adversity. It brightens your path. It heightens your awareness of my presence. My desire is that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our closing song. And by the way, the Christmas songs we're singing. When I was a teacher, back in the 70s, I started teaching. We used to sing these songs in Christmas programs at school. Yeah, Silent Night. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Do you know that's against the law now? That's taken away from the schools? They can't do that? They can teach you evolution at the high school over here, but they can't teach you anything about creation. Anything that deflects from Christ, Satan has worked so hard to do that. From Santa Claus to Easter bunnies. I hate to talk about other churches, but one of the big falls in the Jehovah's Witnesses is that they demote Christ. Boy, Satan's got to love that. Christ is Satan's worst enemy. He hates him. In any way he can deflect thought or attention or praise or anything else. I even discussed this in my class in the public school. I says, you deny there's a Satan? Can you see the evil in this world and the goodness and the battle between it? Completely extreme. And ask me, or you tell me why, when people swear, they use the God's name in vain. Why don't they say, oh, Holy Moses or something? No, but they use Christ's name. They use Jesus' name. They use God. Why? That is inspired by Satan. There's no other reason. There's no other reason. I believe. I believe in a God that loves us. I believe in a God that cares for us and watches over us. I believe in a God that will make all wrongs right again. I believe in a God that will turn even the worst things in your life into blessings. I believe in a God that created. I believe in a God of love. I believe. Let's close with a song. Bow before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the belief that you've given us. Somehow everyone here has found that truth. And Lord, just help us to spread that. Lord, with the people around us, may they learn to believe. May they learn to believe. Lord, we thank you that you're a loving God. You're a merciful God. You're a kind God. You don't torture people. You love people. You love those even that hate you. And Lord, your ways will be done someday in heaven, in our earth, just as it is in heaven. And we thank you for that. Lord, let us use this season as an opportunity to talk to people about the living God, about the Christ, the God that came to live among men, to show us the way. Lord, we thank you for that. And we pray that in Jesus' holy name. Now give us safe travel. Yeah. Remember our prayers. Lord, our unspoken prayers, yes. The prayers for the people that we love, the prayers for the people that are calling out to you and that need you so much in their lives. We pray for those that are suffering, that have had great losses, yes. Like the tornadoes in the Midwest, Lord. The end of the world surely came very soon for them. And let us remember, Lord, you are coming soon. Yeah. Very soon. Be with our children. Bring us all together. And Lord, may we have the biggest and best reunion someday in your heavenly presence. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Yeah.